Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Father, just the reality that you are our Heavenly Father, that in all your greatness and all your majesty as creator of all things, you allow us to know you as our personal Father in heaven. And you've told us, Father, that if our earthly fathers know how to give us good gifts, how much more does our Heavenly Father know how to do that? And so you're always working in our lives in ways that are good, even when we don't see it, Lord. But we know that you are holy and you are just and you are righteous and that you love us and you only give us good things. And so, Father, help us to trust you by faith in that and to rely on you to carry us through the challenges of our lives, Father, that we might be a witness that brings you honor and glory. We ask that also, Father, that you bless this message and carry it. And may we walk out of your house today saying, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we looked at the biblical account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Did you catch my, I'm going to say it this way, my foo-faw from last week? My foo-faw or my fumble? Yeah, you did. Now, it wasn't the mathematical calculation. I can prove that one. I just maybe said it wrong.
15 to 20,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept saying 1,500. Afterwards, I went home and I said, what is wrong with you? You know, 15,000. It was 5,000. And if you add a spouse to that or a child, it could be 15,000 or even more people that Jesus fed. And that was a great miracle out of that little handful of food. If you didn't hear me say that, it just means one thing. You're either two things. You're either sleeping or not paying attention. I'm teasing you. Giving you all bad time. So we saw what happened, that Jesus did that magnificent miracle, and that it just takes our acting in faith that we can see miraculous work of God's hand in our lives. Amen? Amen. But today I want to look at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 21 and 22. It says, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So after the miracle of feeding the 15,000 plus people, right? After doing that, he sent his disciples away to cross over the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus went to step away by himself, to be alone. You know, we might think, you know, well, he needed to have some physical restoration. You know, we need to remember that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. We might say, well, being God, he doesn't need to be restored in strength. But being a man, just like us, 100% man, he was probably tired after that day. And so he went to rest. He went to rest, but he sent his disciples to go on across the Sea of Galilee. Now, it was probably closer to evening, all right, when they went. The Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide, and it doesn't take long to cross the Sea of Galilee, all right? So they went out around sunset or maybe while it was dark, and they were working to cross the Sea of Galilee. We need to remember to take time to be refreshed when we have been busy serving the Lord. When we have our minds being, I don't know about you, but our minds being overwhelmed with thoughts, not just being scrambled, but where you've got all these little things in your head that are just kind of weighing down, and sometimes we just kind of think, okay, there are things that will work out, but they're still weighing us down. We really do need to take those to God in prayer. We really need to just exhaust our heart before God and say, God, this is on my mind, this is on my mind, this is on my mind. And God will, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal more and more things on our mind. And I mentioned it to you before, but I want to reiterate that we can follow the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as a guideline for our prayer outline. But there are times when we have so much in our mind that it's just okay to dump it all out before the Lord. without any pattern. But I always, when after I finish dumping things out, then I go through that pattern because it covers all the territories that we need to cover in our prayer life. And the point is that Jesus went to be alone with the Father to get refreshed physically. And I bet he was praising the Father. Father, thank you, for you were glorified in that. Who knows exactly what had happened there as he went to be by himself. And so we need to remember to take time to be refreshed. If Jesus needed that, obviously he's instructing us to take time to refresh ourselves as well. So do you refresh yourself spiritually? And not just opening up the Word. I want you to read your Word. God wants you to read your Word. But it's being alone with your Heavenly Father and talking to Him. So what did we learn out of verse 24? But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Now, this, as I said, the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide, and it would take about normally about 30 minutes to cover a mile. So it would take about 4 hours in good weather to cross the Sea of Galilee, right? But remember, Jesus went his way after he sent the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, probably around twilight-ish. They were on the Sea of Galilee. It should have only taken them 4 hours to get to the other side under normal circumstances. But what happened was that they had made it halfway across the Sea of Galilee, and they entered into the fourth watch. Now, the fourth watch doesn't mean much to us, but Jewish calendar, the fourth watch is between 3 and 6 a.m. So they left probably around twilight, around sunset. They're out in the Sea of Galilee, and they're trying to get to the other side. Should have got to the other side in 4 hours, but instead they were only halfway across the sea after working hard rowing for about 9 to 12 hours. What happened there? And I think we know the story, but at that point, halfway through, they were exhausted. You know, when we are in a storm, it is exhausting. And in the middle of the storm, when you get to a place where you feel like you're utterly spent, the storm's not over. But you know what? As odd as it sounds, that's a good place to be. Why? Because as believers, it directs us to rely that much more on the power of God. You see, the first part of working hard through the storm is on our own strength. We're trying to muddle through it all. But when we get to that place where we have nothing else to muddle with, if you know what I mean, it's at that point we say, God, I have nothing. There's no more in me. You just have to pick me up and carry me. When we know God picks us up and carries us, is that not a rich blessing? When we realize the Spirit of God working that way on behalf of us, it doesn't reflect just the Creator God. It reflects our Heavenly Father who loves us and is involved in our life all the time. And so they had gotten halfway across the Sea of Galilee. They were exhausted. And maybe they were thinking things like, man, we're in the middle of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to die here. I mean, we're swamped. If we don't use what we've got, if we don't do, you know, muster up some more strength, we're not going to beat the odds and we're going to die here. Or they might be saying, why did Jesus have us get in the boat and cross the sea? They might say, well, he's God, isn't he? He knows what's going on, what's going to happen. Why do you do that? Why does God allow us to go through those very difficult, challenging, stormy times of our life? Because in the middle of the storm, we discover Jesus. One, we rely on him. One, we look to him, depend on him by our faith. And why wouldn't he protect us from the storm? They might have been saying. Why did you allow this, God? Why are you allowing me to be in this situation? Don't you love me? We know God loves us. Aren't I a good enough Christian? Aren't I a faithful person to you? Have I not checked off those boxes, so to speak, in spite of my daily you know, sinful nature, you know that I'm faithful to you. Why have you allowed this? God, our Father, like I said earlier, always allows things to happen in our lives for good. There are good reasons, but he has no obligation to explain to us why. Sometimes he tells us why. Other times he doesn't. What are we supposed to do with that? We're supposed to say, God, I trust you. I love you. I know you love me. And by faith, I'm just going to lay it in your hands and keep following you. And that's a choice that we have to make. In the middle of a storm, our fears can set in and our faith wane, especially as exhaustion sets in. Isn't that right? Satan hits us at our weakest times. When we're physically exhausted, then we're mentally exhausted, and then we're spiritually become exhausted too. And Satan goes, perfect, prime target. Hit, 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 hit. But our response should be, I'm helpless without you, Father. Hold me up. Protect me. Guard me against the enemy. So let's go back to our story in Matthew 14, verses 25 to 27. Now on the fourth watch of the night, and again, that's between 3 and 6 in the morning, Jesus went to them. He'd refreshed himself. Time to do more things, right? So Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Now, it's interesting how as we read the Gospels and we see the circumstances from our perspective, as we're looking at the history of the events that have taken place and disciples and people that are recorded in the Scriptures, that we almost become critical of them. You know, why didn't you see that was Jesus? What's wrong with your faith? So forth, we begin to judge. But I tell you what, if you and I were out on a lake in the middle of the night, which I don't like being on water that I can't touch the floor with, and I don't like especially being out there in the dark because I'm scared of sharks, not that there's sharks in the Sea of Galilee. But I tell you what, if there was a storm in the middle of the night on the water and I saw someone walking on the water, I bet I wouldn't be just kicking back, man, look at that, let's check that out. I would be having a hard time. Not because I didn't have faith, but because I didn't know. I didn't understand. And so immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, you know, be of good cheer, be happy. It is I, do not be afraid. In the middle of our storm, when we see Jesus, he's going to say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know the storm. I know the dangers. I know the circumstances. But I'm telling you, this is what Jesus said, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your Heavenly Father. And I have allowed this for a reason. And you keep your faith and rely on me. So here's a question. If you're out on the boat and you saw Jesus walking on the water in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, what do you think Jesus looked like? My mind says, here's this guy walking this glowing on the water. Yeah, they said it's a ghost because they saw a figure of a man out there. But none of the Gospels really give us a clear picture of what he looked like. Maybe it just was as simple as this. He looked like he always did. And he was walking on water. We might say maybe the light was shining around him. You know, maybe there was a spotlight on him, so to speak, from heaven. Because they saw him walking on the water. After all, it was the middle of the dark. But maybe it was just simply dark and they saw a shadow of a man. Like, ah, it's a ghost. We don't know. We don't know exactly what they saw. Was Jesus drenched with rain, affected by the elements around him? Was he walking calmly or was he wobbling? You know, was he cutting a path and just cutting through it all? You know, these type of things. Was Jesus being bombarded by the waves and not being knocked down? Were the winds calm around them? We don't know these things. We know that the storm was around them, but we don't know how he was being impacted or how he looked. The point is that we don't necessarily identify how Jesus reveals himself to us in the middle of a storm. If we are looking to Jesus, then Jesus will reveal himself to us in ways that we don't expect. And he'll validate that's who he is, that it is him, and not to be afraid. And when the Spirit of God comes over our heart and says, I know the anxiety that you have, don't be anxious, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, right? In verse 27, when this fear came over them and they saw what they thought to be a ghost, Jesus obviously said to him, it is I, do not be afraid. Now the literal translation of it is I am. I am is God's name, right? Jesus declared to them who he was. Hey, Moses, I am that I am. That's my name. Who should I say to Pharaoh that's sent me? Tell him I am that I am has sent you. I am encompasses everything. He's God. And so he's trying to refer to them, look, it's me. It is God. I am. It is I that is with you, right? And in that, we find great comfort. Moses found comfort and reassurance. Remember, he didn't want the job. He didn't speak very well. He may have spoke with lisp. I don't know. He had a speaking problem. You didn't quite hear me, did you? But he did have a problem with speaking. And yet God said, I'm with you, and I have sent you, and I will work through you. And God is with you, and he's with me, and more specifically, in the midst of dark storms. Because it's there that we discover Jesus even in greater ways. He's the great I am. I am is the name God that speaks to his steadiness and power. I'm in control. I'm not wavering. I'm steady. I am all powerful. These things we can trust in him with. When we wonder if he's coming to help us, he answers with his name, I am. When we wonder if he's able to help us, he declares, I am. What's he saying? I am more than able to help you. I am totally in control. There is nothing that I cannot handle, does not even challenge me. And you are mine. So trust me. Have faith in me. Have faith in me. Consider the disciples in the middle of the storm again. In your life, do you feel like you're too far from the shore? I mentioned to you, when I get into deeper waters at the beach, I always want to know that underlying shelf of sand is close enough that I can step on. You know, at least if it's over my head, I can get down, bend my knees, and push myself back up for air. But if I walk off the edge of that shelf, which I've done before, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And so we need to remember that as the disciples were out there, they might say, we're too far from the shore to run back or to swim back or to row back. But they were halfway through, so what would be the point? It's like the guy that escaped from Alcatraz, made it halfway across the bay and said there's too many sharks here and swam back. You know, that's not a true story. That was a joke. Good. Good. See, the logic isn't there. But we do feel sometimes that we're not on steady ground and we're too far from this, from the shore. And our security that we're used to based upon our own abilities is not there. And we have to rely on the security of the great I am, on Jesus, our Savior, our Creator, our God. Are we too far from a solution, just can't figure it out? Are we expending all of our energy, rowing hard, not getting anywhere, seemingly? Do you feel like the battle's just too long? right? The strong winds always just blowing you, tossing you around. The waves are knocking you off your feet. You feel too small or too alone or too weak. I think there's time where all of us have felt that way at one time or another in our walk with Jesus. But he's there. The great I am is there. It is I. Do not be afraid, no matter what we're going through. Remember, the great I am is with you in the storms of life. Now, I want you to consider, maybe you might want to memorize this passage or at least reflect upon it. It's in Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, the first part of verse 3. And I want to read this. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We have been placed in the hand of our Father. Or the Father has placed us in the hands of Jesus, right? We have his security. Always. Always. And he's always working good, either to redirect us or to shape us that much more, or both simultaneously. But we'd rather be spared from the storms of life. We'd all like to say, I want an easy life that doesn't have any storms. Have you ever discovered as you grow in Christ that you appreciate the storms you've been through? Didn't like it, but you appreciate what you learned through it. Because you have substance to it as we rely on God in faith. We saw that faith in God during the Exodus, didn't we? We saw God split the Red Sea. They didn't like the circumstance. The threat was real. The logic said we're dead in the water. And God said, oh, no, you're not. And in a miraculous way, in a way that no one could ever, ever suspect, God parted the Red Sea. God can part the Red Sea for us in times when we don't see any way to escape. And he'll show us the way. Sometimes God sends us into a storm because he wants to increase our faith and trust in him through it. Increased faith, growing faith, practical faith, lived out faith is a good faith because we learn to live by faith and not by sight. That's how God wants us to live. In Matthew 14, 28 through 33, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I love Peter's spontaneity. I mean, it got him in trouble sometimes, but he was spontaneous. Hey, look at that. I want to walk on water too. Right? In the midst of the storm, it was not a casual swish-swash storm. It was a life-threatening storm. And the swells were deep, and the waves were high, and the wind was blowing. And he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he didn't care about what was going on around him. Hey, I want to experience that also. I found myself looking at the stories of the history that's written in the scriptures, you know, his story, right? And not coveting, but in a sense wishing that I was there to experience those things. Man, I'd love to have walked with Peter on the water. Just as one example. Easy to say. Reality isn't in front of me. But you know what? These pictures always represent a spiritual application. Because when the waters of life are tempestuous around us, when our faith is in Jesus and we're not doubting him, and we continue to follow him through those tempestuous times, we walk on water. We're spiritually walking where we should not be able to walk because of our faith in Jesus. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Simple. Come. Cool. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, it takes a lot of faith. I don't know if he went. If the water was warm enough, I don't know if he went. I don't know. I don't think so. Because the power of God, God's word said, come. Peter just climbed out. I wonder what the other disciples were going, you are nuts. You are just out of your mind. But the testament was faith. They watched the faith of Peter on Jesus and the power of Jesus work on his life in a way that was obviously miraculous. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I love that. Jesus is saying, come here. What do you think he's saying? Oh, good. You've had the victory of walking on water. Well, that might have been part of it, but what was the destination? To be right there with Jesus. I'm going to walk straight to you, and I'm going to be right next to you, and you and I are going to walk on the water. That was the objective, I believe. I want to walk with you. I want to walk on the water with you, Lord. But faith failed because doubting entered. And doubting is the opposite of faith. When we doubt God's ability, when we doubt who he is, when we allow ourselves to look at all the circumstances that are true threats against us, but we don't allow ourselves to look at God who is able to do all things. And we begin to sink because of our lack of faith. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He didn't go up to him and say, sorry, you stopped believing. He didn't go, what is wrong with you? He said, I understand, Peter, come on. But your faith could have been stronger. We can always have stronger faith as we rely on God and surrender to him. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and called him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt me? That's what he's saying. Why did you doubt my ability to rescue you or to enable you to walk on the water? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They just saw him feed 15,000 plus people, right? They saw him fill the wine jugs full of wine for the wedding with the best wine they could have. It's kind of like the density of mankind, right? I mean, Jesus said, you still don't get it? Oh, really? You don't remember? In passages of scripture, we see that. What is wrong? I've been with you how long? Come on. He's saying, pay attention to who I am. And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. When we get to the other side of the storm, and the storm is no longer there, we've seen the power of God carry us and give us victory, and our natural spiritual response as believers in God should at the very least be, thank you, Father. But more than that should be, I praise you. I acknowledge who you are. I see you and your power, and I am in a wonderment, if you will accept that as a word. I'm amazed at who you are, and you've allowed me to see who you are, and you've allowed me to experience that relationship with you through that storm, and I am so grateful, and I praise you for it. My faith is so much greater in you. I want to make just a few quick points. One, Peter responded in faith, and a miracle happened for him personally. My sarcasm says, oh, I can walk in water, just throw it on the floor and I'll walk on it. Well, that's not walking on water because there's something else underneath it. But But Peter responded to faith, and a miracle happened for him personally. And two, Peter's faith and miracle ended when he focused on the storm and took his eyes off Jesus. Doubt and fear took him down. We have to remember that. When we begin to doubt God's ability and we allow our fear to come in because of the real circumstances around us, we will fail in our faith. Not in our relationship with God, not in our security in God, because He secured us in His hand, but in our faithful walk with God. And so we have to make a decision. I'm going to believe, even though I know the odds are against me, naturally, but the odds are for me spiritually. I shared this verse with the kids, but let them ask in faith with no doubting. Don't doubt God's ability. Be in line with His will. See, when Peter stepped out, when Peter was in the boat, he goes, "Lord, let me walk on the water with you," paraphrasing, right? Jesus said, "Come." There was an acknowledgement and an agreement. Peter's asking for the request, and God responded to him and said, "Okay, come." When we pray for things and we know the Spirit of God is in agreement with us in our heart, we know God's going to do it. When I prayed for 35 years for my blue-green speckled Corvette, I never got from God, "Okay, except here's a Hot Wheel." But when I pray and I know the Spirit of God has confirmed, I will take care of it. It's like I'm saying, "Come." Boom. No questions. Absolute. I will take care of it. I have on my nightstand, I call it nightstand, not my nightstand, a little table beside my recliner. And I've put in quotes what God told me years ago as I walked around the schools. And I know there have been times when I walked around the schools when I was able to do that, there were times when I was just brokenhearted about circumstances in people's lives and church and challenges and warfare and you name it. And I remember walking by Bishop, not a bishop, but by Bishop School, and God said, "I will take care of it." There were no more questions. And so I have that quote written on a post-it and taped over with boxing tape on my table. And I look down and go, "I will take care of it." You see, I'm reminded that God did take care of it. Then therefore I can, by faith, trust Him to take care of things. But I can seek Him out for that confirmation as well. So James 1:6 says, "Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." We don't want to live our lives with instability. We don't want to live our lives with fear and anxiety. We don't want to live our lives without clear direction. We want to live our lives with the security and the assurance that we are walking with Jesus on the path that He has us to go to and the journey of life that He gives us here on earth. That's what we want. When we fear or doubt, our faith is absent, doubt will only toss us around in the storm. Begin doubting, be ready to be swallowed up by the waves of fear. What happened even in the midst of doubt and fear, Jesus still rescued Peter and the disciples out of His love and care. You hear what I'm saying? Even though Peter failed by his doubt, and his fear and his anxiety, God didn't slap him down, push him down. He put His hand out, pulled him up. See, God's never going to slap us down. He's there to pull us up. It's like the old story I told you, and I'm wandering just a little bit here, but when my kids are learning to walk, if they fell down, or if they fell down in a mud puddle, I didn't walk over them. "To save any little stinker." I didn't do that. No, I picked them up. I reassured them. I comforted them. I was their security. And that's what God is to us. He will reach down and pull us up even when we allow fear to overcome us. When Jesus was in the boat, as in verse 32, the storm ceased. Invite Jesus into your boat. Let him take care of your storms. Have faith in the great I am. Watch him work a miracle in the midst of your storm. See, that's the blessing. Don't be afraid of the storm. That's easy said, not easy done. But by faith, we cannot. By faith, we can experience the absence of fear and have faith in God and know that God's going to work a miracle through that storm. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word and the examples that you give us, Father, in your word to teach us to be faithful, to not walk in doubt and fear and anxiety, but to walk in faith in you. For you are our Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth and all that there is, no power even parallel to you, no power higher than you, not even close to you. But you are great and you are mighty and you are our God and you are our Heavenly Father who loves us with a love that cannot be measured to any degree, with a love that's never ending, that always will be around us. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your understanding our frailties. Thank you for loving us no matter what. Thank you for allowing us to know you. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to experience you in our lives. Thank you for building us for the purpose of having faith in you and purpose in you and direction in you. Thank you for all that you do and your countless blessings that we can't recall all and that we can't even know all the blessings that you've given us. But you are our God, you are our Father, and we love you. May our lives reflect that, Father. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.